This is Michael Gannon with Insight to Israel. And I want to say thank you to the guys at America's Web Radio for bringing the truth to the grassroots of the United States of America about what happens here in the Jewish state. There are advancements in technology and agriculture and medicine. Their humanitarian work that they do around the world, and also the soldiers that stand and defend the sovereignty and security of the Jewish state. I want to say thank you to America's Web Radio for bringing the opportunity to me and to Insight to Israel to have this radio show. Thank you, guys. I love you. We are praying for you. We stand with you in your other shows that bring the truth to the United States of America. And the Jewish people, the Israeli Jews, thank you for bringing that truth from Israel to the United States. If it weren't for you guys and many others, but specifically you guys, because you carry Insight to Israel on your program, and I want to say thank you from everyone here, the soldiers and civilians that stand and fight for this country every day, and make it a success, truly make it a success. I also want to thank everyone that has contributed this year to Hershey's for Heroes. It is a huge, huge blessing to these soldiers, a huge morale boost every time that they get a chocolate bar with a note from Americans saying thank you. Thank you for defending the Jewish state and its sovereign security. God bless you. We're praying for you. Simple, simple words that when after 65 years, and even before, but since Israel regained its statehood as a nation, as an entity, a home for the Jewish people, they've been beat down by the leftist media, by Islam, and global, or the leftist global governance. So you'll never know how much those words mean to a soldier. Thank you to everyone that's given. If you want to find out more about Hershey's for Heroes, you can go to Facebook and type in Hershey's for Heroes, and you can find the like page. And if you would like more information, you can find it there or email me at michaelagano@gmail.com. We need lots of Hershey's chocolate bars. I want to stay stocked up. I'm running low right now. That's because I've gone everywhere all over this country. And we'll talk more about that later in the show. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We just finished up in Israel Thanksgiving. I'm probably not saying it right, but Hanukkah and Thanksgiving, which happened to fall on the same dates. And it won't happen for another 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years. We won't be around, so I guess after you get past 500, it doesn't even matter. But we just finished up with Hanukkah and Thanksgiving. It was an amazing time. I got to spend with some very special friends of mine, people that have been a help to the work here in Israel. There's lots of people that are encouraging. But then you have those folks that are willing to dig in their heels and say, you know what, we stand with you. Please get this message out. It's very important. And so I spent Hanukkah with some very good friends and had Thanksgiving. Was invited to a dinner of American Jews that moved home, that came home after 2,000 years. And had a great Thanksgiving dinner. It was lots of turkey and the traditional American. But then some Israeli dishes that were thrown in, and it was a fantastic time. You can find a few pictures on my Facebook at Michael Gannon. So it was a great holiday. Now that goes without saying that I am homesick. I miss my family, and it's been a while. It's been over a year now. It's very hard to believe that it's been over a year since I arrived here in Israel, and the things that have happened have literally been a blessing, have changed my life, and caused me to take a deeper look and try and work on some things in my life to make myself better, And it's given me the opportunity to get a message that is commonly not heard in the U.S. about this country. We hear it in a lot of Christian circles, but even in that, a lot of Christians know why. Historically, this is the Jewish state. It belongs, this land belongs to the Jewish people, but they're not real aware of modern-day Israel and how the Jewish people, I can't say it enough, how they give and go and do for the world, yet get very little in return, almost nothing, almost nothing. So that's a little bit what I want to share with you about today. I want to talk to you about, I haven't done this before, I want to talk to you about the work that is going on here in Israel with Insight to Israel. Needless to say, back in the earlier part of 2013, Insight to Israel did not exist. And again, we'll get to that, but it's amazing how it's come into being and blossomed and fruition right now. And I'll repeat this again right now, Insight to Israel, out of 26,000 radio shows, Insight to Israel is in the top 20%. And the show's only been around since March of 2013. So I thank God. I thank God and everyone that has been on the show, Zahava Englard and Jonathan Feldstein and Jay Schultz and Iris Burrell and many other people have contributed to the show and been a benefit and a blessing in bringing the message to the United States about what goes on here. So thank you to all those folks. You know, I get asked a lot, Michael, why did you come to Israel? Why? And I have to be honest with you, there's sometimes I wake up in the morning and I miss my family. I miss I don't live a normal life here. It's not normal. It is not normal. That's for sure. But it's blessed, even beyond what I can describe. But people ask me a lot. Israelis ask me, why? You're not Jewish. Why do you care? Why would you leave your family and your friends and come here to Israel to help us? And my response always starts with the fact that it was my upbringing in my home. My mother used to read to us, Mother Gano used to read to us every evening, five nights a week out of the Bible, out of Torah, the Old Testament, and the prophets, and would always say, you know, this is the Jewish people, this is our founding, we owe them, and we must always stand with them. So this was emphasized as I was growing up, and over the years, there was just little seeds that were always dropped into my life, which led me to Bible college and to study the Bible for 4 years, where I would earn my degree in theological studies and education. And it was those things that even when you're not realizing it, when you're not thinking, when you're not focused on it, those seeds, once they're planted, there comes a fruit that comes into your life that you can't get away from. You always find yourself turning and eating of it. That happens with good or bad things. But after traveling abroad and being in several countries, teaching school, and then working in politics for several years, and I loved it. I'm very thankful that I was able not only to serve humanity, but to serve my country in general. That I'm so blessed to have been born in, when I could have been born in Haiti, in Romania, in Mexico, in Venezuela. I could have been born in any one of these countries of lesser estate. And yet God, by divine providence, allowed me to be born in the United States of America. And I'm thankful for that. I'm blessed. When I reflect on that, when I think about it, my life is blessed. And I owe somebody in this life for those blessings, my family, my friends that have stood beside me, my founding fathers who stood for what's right and fought. But most of all, if we go back to the core, to the root, to the grassroots of our freedom, it comes from two areas. Number one, It comes from the fact that the Jewish people received Torah from God, from Hashem. And this is the antithesis, the basis, the grounding, the founding of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And if it were not for that, if it were not for that, then I would not be a free man externally. And if it weren't for God, I would not be a free man internally. I am so thankful. And so, you know, with all the work that I've been blessed to do, that I've, the experience I've been blessed to have, I knew deep inside of my heart, as I grew up and became more educated and learned, then I knew that I owed the Jewish people for my freedom. And I want to say thank you to the Israeli Jews as you fight every day, as you stand every day for your freedom. Thank you for not giving up. Thank you to my mother for not giving up, for praying, even when my life was in a shambles. I want to say thank you to all those that stood beside me through the years. But I knew eventually, I felt this drawing that I knew that I would eventually come to Israel. In fact, in my last job in Washington, D.C. with the Media Research Center, I had an American flag that a buddy of mine, Jason Hurley, had in his backpack in Afghanistan, and an Israeli flag that a woman in my mother's church in West Virginia, she makes all the time and gives away. And she made me one of those flags, and in my office in Washington, both those flags were hung up side by side. And you know, it's funny because I would have people ask me, why do you have the Israeli flag? For what? Are you Jewish? No. Have you been to Israel? No. Well, why? Why? What's the point? And so I would, my response would be in kind that if I have to take you as an adult, someone who's supposed to be conservative and many times even Christian, and take you and sit down and explain to you as a little child why I believe in the Jewish state, why I will stand with the Jewish people, then you probably wouldn't get it anyway. And that wasn't always the answer folks enjoyed getting, but I would hope, I would like to think there's that desire for truth inside of every man and woman, that they would ponder upon this and go and research for themselves, why do we stand with Israel? And so, you know, there were things that transpired while I worked in politics that little by little led me to this country. Starting in 2011, when I was on the phone with the donor of the Media Research Center, and we got to talking about media bias against Christians, against conservatives, against Israel, against the Jewish people. And so somehow the conversation went from the United States to Israel. And so because I'm an avid media watcher and I research and investigate, I know what goes on here. I know what goes on. I see the growth of Islam and I see the oppression of the Jewish people all around the world as we see anti-Semitism growing. And so this gentleman, he said, wow, you seem to know a lot about what's going on in Israel. Have you ever been there? And I said, no, I've never been to Israel. And he said, do you want to go? And I said, oh, it's a dream. I would love to go to Israel. And he said, well, I'm a pilot for U.S. Air, and if you want to go, I'll get you a ticket. You just pay the taxes. I was shocked. I was flabbergasted. What do you say to that, you know? And I just told him, I was so shocked. I said, look, you know, I don't know under what guise I'll go to Israel. I don't know under what auspices that I will go. So while I appreciate that, I thank you for it. I just don't know when this will take place. I just bought a new car, and now I had a car payment after several years where I didn't have one. Just befuddled, but overwhelmed by this, you know, this suggestion, this offer of a ticket to Israel. And I can't describe to you the words that I just couldn't say that I tried to find at this offer. So anyway, he, you know, this gentleman, he told me, he said, Michael, when you're done, when you get it figured out, You call me, I will get you the ticket. So it was a bit overwhelming emotionally. With that being said, my next step was I called Mother Gonneau and I told her about my conversation with this man. And I told her, I said, Mom, I want to give you the ticket. You've always wanted to go to Israel. And I just don't know when I would be able to go. So she told me, she said, Michael, that ticket was meant for you. You take it. You'll know when the time is right. And she was absolutely correct. And, you know, it was, it's that kind of woman that my mother is selfless and giving and kind. And I'm thankful for having those traits. And a mother, we give acknowledge to our fathers. My father was a great man. I loved him. He is now deceased, passed away in 2003. But it was those prayers, it was the consistency in my mother's life, not just what she said, but the consistency in her life that had the biggest impact on me. So this showed her true character and her integrity and her godliness that said, Michael, it's for you, it's the right time, you'll know when that is, keep it for yourself. So, with that being said, that was in 2011. At that point, I had a very deep inner struggle that I must prepare myself mentally, emotionally, spiritually, all these things for going to Israel. I still didn't know when I would go, but I knew it would be, I just felt like it would be soon. And I knew when I went, it would not be as a tourist, but I want to give something back to the people here. I want to see firsthand what takes place. I want to report on it. But I want to give back and do something rather than just talking about it. Because I attended a lot of events that were pro-Israel, waved the Israeli flag, but yet when I watched the news, it just wasn't enough for me to do that type of advocacy. I needed to be more proactive. So, in the spring of 2012, some things were transpiring in my life, were shifting. Like a continental shift. That's almost like it was. It was so dramatic what was taking place in my life at that time. And so I will say that in 2011, I started, like I said, to prepare myself mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually for what I felt like was going to come but didn't know when. And so I kept myself in very good shape physically, tried to keep my head cleared mentally and tried to pull myself. Sometimes it's a struggle closer to God. And it's not always easy because you always have those forces working against you. But in 2012, I find myself in the spring going to New York City, of all places. Never been there. Started with the Jerusalem Post Conference. And it was $250 to get in. And I had the money, but I'm not you don't make much working in working for think tanks, and that's okay. But I'll never forget. I had a friend of mine, Jerome, who worked for Fox News affiliate in Washington D.C. And I remember telling Jerome, I was like, "We need to go to this event. We need to be there and." I want you to go, and maybe we can go as you can go under the guise of Fox News. I can be your handler. We can get into this event, see what's going on, talk about it, write a story on it. And he was more than happy to go. So we had to call Israel to set up the reservations. And we never got through. Never got through, not one time. Out of all the many weeks that we called, was not able to speak to anyone. So, finally, 2 days before the event, the Jerusalem Post Conference in New York City, I told him, I said, let's go. Let's just pack up and go. And he said, Mike, I can't do that. I need to make sure that we have the ability to get in. I just don't have that type of person in me that I can just pack up and go. So, I said, well, I'm going. So, I went up there. I'd made some contact with some friends of mine. They were Jewish. And because I wanted to see if I could feel Israel. Even from afar, even though it's not Israel, I wanted to see if I could feel it. and get a better understanding from standing on this shore of the United States. So I went to the Jerusalem Post Conference, and I had the money to pay, but I hadn't registered, pre-registered. So here I am standing in line, and there's all kinds of folks in line at pre-registration. And so I'm in line at registration, and they're very crowded. So I asked the lady, I said, "Ma'am, I didn't get the chance to buy a ticket." And I explained to her the circumstances, hoping, because I'd heard that they were overbooked, hoping that I would be able to get in and listen to the lectures and find out from a lot of people that are in positions of power here in Israel that were speaking there, so I can get a first-hand listen as to what they were saying about what is going on. So the woman, after explaining why I did not pre-register, she said, "You know," she said, "Michael, you seem like a nice young man." And she said, I think that I'm just going to let you get in. I'll get you a pass." And I said, "Ma'am, I can pay." She goes, "You know what?" She goes, You seem like a nice young man. I'm just going to let you in." And I insisted like a second time that I'm more than willing to pay. And she denied me that. And not only that, did she deny me and get me a pass to get in to the Jerusalem Post Conference, but she also gave me a press pass. I was flabbergasted. So it was amazing because I called my mother on the phone and a few of my friends, and I was like, "You'll never believe this. I just got a pass into the Jerusalem Post Conference. And not just a pass, but I also was given a press pass." And they were shocked. I was shocked. And you know, you have to look at those things and say, it's not of myself. It's nothing I could have done. You can't pump. You can't prime. You can't look for an angle. You can't cut corners. You just have to stop and acknowledge and say, "You know what? This is not me. This is not my personality. This is not my personage. Smooth talk, sweet talk. This is inevitably, this is the grace and the mercy of God. And you can't get away from it. Even when you're not worthy of it, you've got to stop and say, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, 1,000 times over." So I got into the Jerusalem Post Conference, made some connections, got to see some great lectures. I saw some, listened to some things I didn't necessarily care for, because I don't believe in a two-state solution, because this is not about land. This is about a Jewish presence after 2,000 years of exile. This is about a Jewish presence right in the Middle East, right smack dab in the middle of Islam. This is what this is about. And we see that it's always about a non-Islamic presence wherever we go in the world, Africa, Europe, various parts of Asia, mass parts of Asia. And now infiltrated is the Muslim Brotherhood in the White House by Barack Hussein Obama. 21 advisors in the White House to the Muslim Brotherhood. 35 Muslim training camps throughout the United States. You can find the video on YouTube. You see this growth. So we understand that Israel is ground zero, that this is not about the Jews. This is about a Jewish presence. This is about them. It's not about any one inch of land that they own. It's about the simple fact that they're here, period. And we see the same all over the world as we observe from afar. If we could step back from the earth and observe and see the growth of anti-Semitism, and with that, anti-Christian mentality, spirit, that is pervading the world through leftist ideology, mentality, media, global governance, and Islam. So, with that being said, I left amazed after this conference. It just drove me. I needed to be here, and I knew that. And I just, there was something inside of me that was pulling me. And so, again, it's not enough to stand in a place of ease while others are suffering and going through turmoil and striving every day for their sovereignty and security, it's not enough to stand and say, I want to help, and hold out your hands, but not be active with those hands. So then I proceeded. I made quite a few friends in New York City, and I found myself, it started off in March, I found myself going to New York City, and I would leave Friday night after work, come back Saturday night, and it was every other weekend for the first month. Then it ended up every weekend, leaving, taking off on a Friday, coming back early Monday morning, like 3 in the morning, in my car, driving down the New Jersey Turnpike. So I just wanted to spend time with these people, and many of them had been to Israel and know more about what takes place here. So these are the things that transpired that led me here. And along with that, there was a movie that had come out at that point, a documentary on the life of Yonatan Netanyahu, the brother of Yoni Netanyahu, about his life in the raid at Entebbe. And that I will share with you in the next segment. I want to say thank you to everyone that's listening. I'm doing this special program as a recap of the year, how blessed I've been, how blessed we all have been. During this Christmas season, we reflect and thank God for the many grateful and eternal blessings and mercies that He has granted to us daily. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. We'll be right back. This is Michael Gano with Insight to Israel. Every day, the Israeli Defense Force finds itself on the front line of the war with the militant arm of Islam. Surrounded by enemies from within and without, they fight for the only Jewish state. Military service is mandatory, ladies serving 2 years and men serving 3 right out of high school. While young people in other democracies are busy traveling or attending university, Israeli men and women gear up for basic training. In a world of heads of state, politicians, ambassadors, diplomats, and a leftist media, many times our voice at the grassroots level is drowned out. So we started an ongoing project called Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives from all over the U.S. are sending Hershey's chocolate bars with a note of thanks for defending Israel. Won't you join us by sending a sweet message to the IDF? For information, please see my Facebook page at Michael Gano. Thank you, God bless Patriot conservatives, and God bless Israel in her struggle for sovereignty and security.
Memories of all that she's lost. When she she hears a sound at her door, and the song comes to find her as a gentle reminder, love is here. It's the music of Christmas.
This is Michael Gonneau with Insight to Israel, and we're back, and I want to say thank you to everyone that listens to Insight to Israel on America's Web Radio. God bless you in this Christmas season. It's hard to believe that it's been over a year now since I came to Israel, to the Jewish state, and it's amazing how my life has been changed by the people here. As someone who was always an advocate for Israel from the United States, and now to actually be here and see the greatness of these people, of the Jewish people, their contributions to the world, their fight for sovereignty and security, and yet these contributions are very, very few times acknowledged by the rest of the world. That turns a blind eye. Things that we use every day, things that we are experience, whether it's an illness, there are cures that the Jewish people have devised that have brought wellness and wholeness to our bodies, that have contributed to our lives, such as the cherry tomato. I want to say thank you for that. The Pentium processor. The first desalinization plant where salt water is literally turned into fresh water. It's amazing, a miracle in itself. And so these things that touch our lives every day that we are not even aware of, and I could go and name off a list of many others, but I'm sharing with you today and during this time of the month, this time of the year, that as for Christians, we take very seriously, that we certainly do appreciate our friends, our family, but most of all, we say thank you to God for giving us, and I say this as a Christian, the Messiah, and for that spiritual liberation, that soul liberation that we find, that the world, that sometimes we allow the world to bring in and bog us down and keep us under and afflict us and bind us. But yet we know that because of God giving His only Son, the ultimate Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb, the Holy Lamb, once and for all, that all men, not just the Jewish people, but all men may go free from the bondage of sin. And I'm grateful for that. We acknowledge that. We thank God for His gift that He gave to us when we were not even worthy. So, with that being said, in the last segment, I was talking about how I ended up coming to Israel, and I was sharing about Yoni Netanyahu. And before I get into that, I have a very special friend of mine here with me, and you've probably seen her in a few pictures that I've been in. She's been very instrumental here in the work because she believes in her country. She believes in the Jewish state and its sovereignty and security. And so, Iris Burrell. Iris, I want to say thank you for coming in, and you're sitting there looking at me. Iris is a little microphone shy. The reason why I brought in Iris, and I'm going to get back into the story here, but I want to say, Iris, thank you for being a vital part of Insight to Israel. If you go to Facebook, and we'll have a website up in January, that's one of the exciting things we've got coming up. We're going to have the website in January, but Iris has been very instrumental in the behind the scenes. I joke around and to our friends, I call her my executive secretary, but she doesn't even get paid. But she pays. She gets paid. She does a lot. I will say that. She does a lot. More than she wants me to say here on the radio program. But she was very instrumental in putting together the logo for Insight to Israel. And at one point, she even got me business cards. Dearest, thank you. If it weren't, that logo says a lot. That logo, Insight to Israel logo, I think says it all. With the eye over Israel, with this Magen
right.
David, the Star
of
David. But it's people working together to bring it to fruition, to bring it to surface, to bring it to life, to give that breath to it. Just like God breathed into Adam as he carefully took the time to make him out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It's the Israeli people, the Jewish people, yourself and others that have breathed into life, even through little things like the logo, Insight to Israel. And I want to say thank you for that. You've been a huge help. Huge. So with that being said, I want to, and I'm going to bring you in here from time to time, but we want to hear from you. But I was just about to talk about Yoni Netanyahu, who you, after especially after having served in the military for your country, Yoni was is a war hero here. And am I correct?
Yeah, right.
And Yoni Netanyahu is the brother of Benjamin Netanyahu, who's
Bibi,
the current prime minister. So, in reference to that, I was I felt this urging, this tugging to come to Israel. I didn't know when it would happen, but it was just little things incrementally that were showing me this the time. And so I went to a special viewing of a documentary on Yoni Netanyahu's life. And the reason for that is they had this special viewing was because he was a very special man in the sense that not only is he the prime minister's brother, but he was pretty much raised in the United States. His family lived in the U.S. And anyway, there was this documentary that aired in New York City, in Washington, D.C., in Chicago, in L.A., and in Miami, all those places where there's predominantly a large Jewish population. So I got the invite to this, and I'm liking this Christmas music in the background. It's nice. I want to give acknowledge Josh Groban and Stephen Curtis Chapman in the background, just to acknowledge that that's who's singing. But anyway, so there was this special viewing. And so when it came to Washington, you know, my buddies and I, who were very pro-Israel, for some reason they didn't make it. And I've talked to you about my buddy Ed, who the final months between him and Dan and Sandy Curran really were supportive of me making this trip to Israel. And so I took Ed with me, who's pro-Israel, but he doesn't know a lot about Israel. So I took him. We both went. I made the reservations. We both went to the documentary in a theater. And here's a guy who had already served his time in the military. He felt that call to Israel. Served his time in the military, met his wife, got married, is now going to Harvard for his undergraduate, a 4-year scholarship, and was studying. He was known. The main reason why this documentary came about was because he was a letter writer. He wrote to his friends, he wrote to his family consistently, wrote to his professors or his teachers when he was in high school. And he left behind a trail of memories of his life documented by himself, not what someone else said, but what he personally experienced that didn't come together till after he passed away. But anyway, I watched this documentary and I saw that this guy was willing. He saw the need for his country, that it was under duress, that it was being attacked. And he said, even though I've served my time in the army, I cannot sit here while many of my people are at war. So he came back to Israel. And I'm sure a lot of folks called him crazy. But there was one specific, he excelled in the military. It was amazing how he excelled and he kept himself in shape. And even though some of the men sometimes didn't like his ability to excel, they were jealous of it, they still respected him because of the attitude that he carried. You know, that we must do this for Israel. And so, anyway, in seeing this documentary and the Rated and Tabby, look it up, Yonatan or Yoni Netanyahu. Go and research it yourself. Great man. He was killed at the Rated and Tabby, where in Uganda there was a plane of Jews coming from France, if I'm not mistaken, and they were taken by Muslims, or quote-unquote Palestinians. We know it's there's no such term as a Palestinian. It was made up and didn't come into being until the 40s, until after you declared you were a state. Anyway, so he initiated this plan to rescue all of these Jewish Israelis that were held captive for ransom in exchange for the release of prisoners. Now, they would have killed these people anyway once the prisoners were released. But these Muslims held them captive. They devised a plan to fly a C-130 to Uganda, about 1,200 miles away. Many of these guys on this plane had never been outside of Israel in another country. So they successfully were able to take back these Israeli Jews, rescue them, and the only person that died was Yoni Netanyahu, that died in the raid, the initiator of the raid, the planner, the mastermind behind it, the leader in getting off that out of that limousine. If you haven't seen it, you need to look for it, you need to research it. And he was the first and only guy killed in the military. Now, there was one other woman that was killed. She was very sick. They took her to the hospital, Ugandan hospital. Once all of the Israelis were rescued, then the leader of Uganda found out and killed her. Went to the hospital and personally killed her. In retaliation for this rescue. So, anyway, I sat there and I watched. Here's this guy that's willing to sacrifice everything, to give up everything for what he believed. And so the question I had to ask myself at this point in my life, there were a lot of things that I struggled with. There were a lot of things that were taking place that aren't really necessary for me to talk about. But I sat there and I said, God, if this man is willing to do it, who am I any less? Who am I to ask anyone should ask any less of me as a person, as a man, as someone who was born with freedom and liberty? And then I see what the Jewish people go through here in Israel. Who am I? Who am I to ask any less of myself? You know? So I sat there in that theater and I said, God, if you'll get me there, I will fight with him. I will stand with him. Whatever it takes, get me there. So then moving forward, less than a month after that, some things transpired and the way opened for me to come in June of 2012. So now I set a date for myself. It was October 1st, and things just worked. They worked for me to come. I was working for another organization then. Insight to Israel was not even a thought. A radio show was not even a thought. And so I ended up working for someone else. They said, you have to raise your own money. Now, that would scare a lot of people, and it scared me. But I thought, man, the chance to go to Israel? I'm ready. So I honestly gave everything away, except for my car, which I had to sell. But anyway, at the end, I ended up being here, and it's been a fantastic experience. You can follow my experience on Facebook with all the pictures with the military, which is the best military. These young people have to serve. Young women serve 2 years, young men serve 3, unless you're in a special forces or unless you're going to be an officer and your time is extended. Am I correct in that, Iris? So these are the things that took place to get me here. And then let me move forward to Insight to Israel. America's Web Radio came to me and said, we want to know the truth about what's happening. Tell us. You come up with the name, you come up with the guest, and we'll let the American people listen to it. We'll let them hear it and know what goes on. And it's been amazing. It's been an amazing ride since March 2013. March, it's not even a year. And right now, currently, America's Web Radio and Insight to Israel, the program, out of 26,000 shows, Insight to Israel is in the top 20%. We're even heard in Europe. I got Europeans listening. Wow. Wow. So, with that being said, Iris, you know, thank you for all your help. What? Now, listen. Now, I have to tell you, I'm going to throw this in here. We're going to get back. It's my show, so I can get off a little bit and jump around. It's a beautiful day here in Israel. It's raining. It's a little cool, so it's giving me that homesick feeling for my family at Christmas. But, Iris, you never really listened to Christmas carols. I introduced you to Christmas carols. So, a few other people, but you had never listened to Christmas carols before.
No, never. And for the last 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
2 weeks from since Thanksgiving or something, just a few days before. You play this Christmas music all the time, and I keep listening to it, and I love it because it gives a very special feeling, atmosphere to this period of time.
Right.
And it comes together with the winter.
Yeah. No, you're right, it does.
It fits the atmosphere of the winter and the ending of the year and starting a new year and all together. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Iris, you've been on the show before. You've been on the show before, and you've talked about your experience because you actually work for the government in advertising around the world about Israel.
Yeah.
And, you know, let me ask you, especially during this time, because we just finished Hanukkah. I talked a little bit about that in the beginning, the first segment of the show. But how do you see, when you say that, the president of the United States has turned his back on Israel, created a bargain with Iran. We see anti-Semitism growing in Europe. You've talked to soldiers before. Iris has been, again, instrumental. I had a buddy of mine from Holland that came that's very pro-Israel. He's a Christian. Iris took us down to the Gaza border, and we hung out with soldiers there, took Hershey's for Heroes to him. How does it make you feel? Iris, you're Jewish. Not just Jewish, but you're Israeli, which is something different altogether. How does it make you feel when you see the way the world's shaping up? I mean, I want to say this, and I'm going to let you talk, but you and I have had a lot of conversations about the world. And how does that make you feel when you see the way things are going?
Well, it makes us think all the time that at the end, we have to take care of ourselves. We can depend on good friends like United States and some Germany and France and Canada.
Right.
It shows a very, very loyal and good friendship. But according to what's happening now in the United States, and that Obama is willing to give away everything for just peace and...
For the name of peace.
The name of peace. Is peace. Like, don't get into war and don't fight and don't get a tough opinion against Muslim countries. So we understand that we cannot count on the big nation, United States, that will stand for us and do for us the tough work. And that's why people in Israel are now very disappointed from Obama.
Sorry. Go ahead.
People of Israel are now very disappointed of Obama. They don't trust him anymore. And they support Bibi of taking a stand against, a very loud stand against him, even though it might annoy Obama. But we understand that we are, first of all, we are for ourselves.
Right, you have to look out for yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Let me ask you,
And we believe, I have to say that we believe in our strength.
You have strength.
There were times that also we had this discussion with the United States about the nuclear that was built in Syria and in Iraq, and in the end of the day, they just stood on the side, and we had a dirty job.
You had to do it yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. We just bumped the nuclear building in Iraq and also in Syria.
Yeah.
And nothing happened.
They never retaliated.
No.
Let me ask you, okay.
And they always threat, by the way.
Yeah, there's always a threat. And you see their propaganda in the media. They use media, leftist media propaganda to speak against Israel. And I'm sure that you've seen that the left just plays right into them. Oh, the great oppressor. And they always remember, the left mixes Jewish, Israeli, and Zionism in together. Zionism, let me make something perfectly clear. Biblical Zionism is the return of the Jewish people to their homeland. There's this big, crazy leftist mentality that talks about a Zionist conspiracy theory. You're doing good just to keep yourself intact, let alone some conspiracy to take over the world. Let me ask you, let's talk about Hurston, because, look, Insight to Israel, thank you to everyone who listens. I am grateful. Let's talk about Hurston for Heroes. Listen, the thought came to me one day, what can I do for the soldiers? What can I do that the American people can do for the soldiers that's inexpensive, that shows their heart, and that sends a message to the soldiers? And the message is being sent back when the soldiers reply on Facebook and through emails, or I make a video, and they say thank you for Hurston for Heroes. And even their intimate response is, Michael, this is so encouraging. When we think that no one's with us, what's your as someone, you're not in the military now, but you've seen how soldiers react. What is your response to Americans sending Hurston for Heroes?
I think that the soldiers have no idea that they have support in the United States. They have no idea that the supporters are from the Christian population. And when I've been with you, Michael, and Phil, in the bases of the soldiers, and you gave them the Hurston for Euro, I saw, like, they were, like, the eyes were wet. They was really excited because it's something that they don't accept it. And in Israel, you just go to the military and you take it for granted, like it's something that you of course you need to do. And when someone came to you and say thank you and gives you a blessing and a thankful giving, and from United States, wow, it's a lot. It gives you a lot of good feeling, and they're very excited of it, and they give them a very good motivation.
Yeah.
To know that there are people from outside that support them.
Yeah. And one of the questions I get all the time is, are you Jewish? I get that all the time. And
before I knew you, I had no idea, and also all my friends, we had no idea that there are Christians in the United States that support Israel and the Israelis and the soldiers. No idea. Of course there are some Jewish, okay, that take care. But it's a very huge surprise.
You know, Iris, and I'm shocked. And I have to tell you how many times that I've sat and I thought, where there's millions, you have literally millions of tourists from all over the world, many of them Christians, that come to Israel. Now, a lot of times they're focused in Jerusalem, or they go and see things like the Sea of Galilee. They go to all the tourist spots. So they're not always able to, they don't come with the intentions of reaching out to the grassroots. And there's a lot of organizations here that are from the United States, and I'm critiquing. And I guess learning from being in politics for so many years, grassroots 101 is reaching out to the people. Reaching out. It's one thing to say, here, we got this for you, and then walk away. But it's another to live among and reach out to. Every day, let them see that you got your arms around them and you're willing to fight. And and look, there's been things I've been through here that not everybody, I don't air them. I share them with my close friend. I don't air all my struggles and things I've been through since I've been here. But the key is work. Do the work. Get the work done. Send the message out. Iris, I'm glad for your experience. I'm glad that you're able to see that Americans love this country. You see it all over the Facebook posts on Hershey's for Heroes on Facebook. Go to Facebook, Insight to Israel, Hershey's for Heroes. Now we have another program that I just felt again when I show the soldiers Hershey's for Heroes. Patriot conservatives support the IDF Day, where the second and fourth Friday of every month, Americans wear, because it's usually a casual day in the office. Can you imagine all these shirts showing up in the office and people don't even expect it? Like, you don't see an IDF t-shirt everywhere, you know? And so now Americans can find me, order an IDF t-shirt. It's like $25. That includes shipping. Very minimal. That includes shipping. You can get the shirt and you're going to, the store, you're going to pay as much, you know? But this is a shirt from Israel, from the Jewish state. The original color of the uniform, and when the soldiers see it, you have no clue the morale. It's amazing to be on a bus and show a soldier Hershey's for Heroes. Now I get to show them something else. We not only will send you, but we'll wear in support of you, you know, and it's an exciting thing. So, Iris, this country has changed my life. I'm thankful for you for all the support that you've given Insight to Israel. That you've been an enabler in sending the message back to the United States from the soldiers and many of the other people, Yoav and Roy Peled and some of the other people that we may never even hear about or see, you know, Jonathan Feldstein from McGean to Vita Dome, all these people. I could sit here and name off all day, and Americans in the state, Dave Hickson and Susan Guandagno and everyone that's in Hershey's for Heroes, I can only say thank you. And look, this segment went quick, and you know, we're about out of time, unfortunately. But I want to say thank you to everyone for giving to Hershey's for Heroes, and I want to say Merry Christmas. This is not the last show of the year, but it's one of those ones where I hope that you find your life blessed. And I hope that you will continue to stand with the Jewish people as they fight for their sovereignty and security. Thank you for the ratings. I appreciate it. I love you guys. Thank you, America's Web Radio. Thank you, Mother Gannett. Thank you, my family and my friends, for your support. And thank you to the Jewish people for being a help to me, a help. So, Iris, thank you. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you for all your activity.
Merry Christmas.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com. The pioneer and leader in chat.